There is nothing in this world like being a part of the family of God. Amen. Look, a church is not a civic group. It's not a social club. It's not a corporate endeavor. It is not a gang. It's not a club of interest. That's not what it is. It's not it at all. It is indeed a family. And if you're a member of this church, you're a member of a wonderful church family. And if, like me, you may be visiting today, my wife and I, we're in a lot of different churches. But if you're visiting today, you have found a group of people that belong to the Lord, they love the Lord, and they meet together to study the Word of God and to encourage one another. And I'm just going to tell you, in the world we're living in right now, everybody needs to be a part of a church family. Everybody does. And I want to take you this morning and this evening to one of my favorite churches. Now, I've been in hundreds of churches, hundreds and hundreds of churches. I don't say this lightly. This is one of my favorites, right where I am this morning, where I'm preaching, because you sense the Lord in this place. But I'm going to take you to one of my favorite churches in Scripture because there's an interaction that the great Apostle Paul had with this church that I think has something for every one of us. I want you to open the Word of God with me, if you will, in the New Testament to the book of Acts. And that's the fifth book of your New Testament. It follows, of course, the four gospel records of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's very appropriate because in the four gospel records, we find what Jesus did while he was on earth. And in the book of Acts, we find what he's continuing to do after he went back to heaven. The book of Acts is the book of the church that Jesus founded, the church that Jesus empowered by his Holy Spirit, the church that Jesus has set in motion to work in this world. You come to Acts chapter 20, you come to one of those churches. It was, I think, a church that Paul loved a great deal. I'll talk to you more about this church this evening if you'll come back to the meeting, but it is known now as the church at Ephesus. Does that sound familiar to anyone? There's a book in your Bible just after Galatians called what? Ephesians. That book was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to this same church. And in the book of Acts, you have the record of how he came to Ephesus, like the pastor here came to this town 25 years ago, started preaching the gospel. People started coming to faith in Christ. They were baptized. They were joined first to the Lord. That's where it starts. Then they were joined to one another. Look here, you don't join the family by just deciding you're going to join the family. Now, in the words of Jesus, you must be born again. You've got to be born again to be in the family of God. You must know God as your Father. The only way to do that is to know His Son, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. And so people began to be born again. The family of God started in the city of Ephesus. By the time you come to Acts chapter 20, the church has been established. In fact, they've got a pastor. They've got leaders. They are a church, perhaps, much like I'm looking at this morning. And the Apostle Paul is meeting with them for the last time. And that might think to be a sad thing, but it really was not. You're going to see in a moment. It was a glad thing. Oh, they were sorry that they wouldn't see him again. And he was sorry that he was leaving them. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be sent to Rome. He'll die for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in the words of one dear Canadian friend of mine who I talked to last week on the phone. He's across country from where we are right now. But he calls me periodically, and I don't know if this is just his expression or if it's one that you're familiar with, but when we end our phone calls, my Canadian brother always ends this way, "Bye for now." Bye for now. I love this. Do you understand for a Christian, it's never goodbye forever, it's only goodbye for now? Paul says, look, I'm leaving you, but we're going to meet again. And I would say that this last message Paul gives to this church is not a goodbye message, it's a go-on message. Look at the message, Acts chapter 20. Verse number 18, he says to them, when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Stop, lift your hand, look at me just a moment. We'll come back to this thought tonight, but you cannot have a church, a real Bible church, a real New Testament church, apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. People don't need to know us. They need to know God. They don't just need to know more. They need to know Him. Verse 22, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24 is my favorite verse in the whole Bible. It's my verse. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. I'd like you to take a pen, if you have one, and underline a phrase in verse 28. It is the thing that I want you to see. No, I want you to do more than see it. I want you to be a part of it. I'd like you to mark the phrase, the church of God. The church of God. You got a great pastor in this church. I admire him. I've known his parents even longer than I've known him, and I love their family and their faithfulness, and I've watched with great interest. I've been coming here for almost 20 years, and I've watched how your pastor and his wife have faithfully labored here and their children growing up. Now they're serving the Lord. It's wonderful. But may I say to you, this is not the church of the Turners. This is the church of God. And occasionally somebody will say, speaking of a church like this, well, that's my church. I understand what they mean by that. I think it's good. You ought to be glad that you belong to a church and these people are connected to you and you feel like this is your family. But may I say, you can't say it's your church in the sense of you're in charge of it. No, it's not your church. It's not my church. It's not His church. It is God's church. In fact, it is His by founding. It is His by purchase. It is His by oversight. It is His by ownership. In every way, the church that we are a part of belongs to God. In fact, can I tell you how much the church means to Him? Look at the last phrase of verse 28. He purchased it. Let's get personal. He purchased us with His own blood. Do you understand? By the way, Paul would write in this same church in the book of Ephesians this exact same thought. That Jesus Christ died for the church. It's funny to me that sometimes people have no interest in church. I meet them everywhere I go and you say, well, let me give an invitation to church. I don't go to church. I don't need church. Interesting to me that men would think that the church is so unnecessary when Jesus thought it was so precious He was willing to die for it. Would you like to know what the church means to Jesus? He bought and paid for it with His own blood. Would you look at Him on that cross dying? He's dying for you and He's dying for me. He's dying for the sins of the whole world. He is dying to establish something that is not something man can do, only God can do. May I say to you, on that cross when Jesus was dying, He was setting in motion the greatest thing on planet Earth. He was setting in motion the church of God. When we come to know Christ and His blood washes our hearts clean, we enter into the greatest fellowship in the world. It's the fellowship of the family of God. It's a funny thing, but I travel every week. Tomorrow morning, God willing, I'll get on an airplane and fly to the deep south to Cajun country in the States, to Louisiana. And I'll be preaching there, and it's going to be hot this week. Would you pray for me? It's going to be really hot. You know what I've found in my travels in different places around the world? I can show up in a place like this and be a stranger. I don't know those people. Those people don't know me. And in about 10 minutes, I feel at home. I feel like I belong. I do belong. You see, I came to know the same Christ that you have believed on and that you have come to know. And you know what we have in common? Our language may be different. Our accent may be different. Our cultures may be different. Our backgrounds may be different. Our place of birth may be different. But let me tell you what we have in common. We have Christ in common. And Jesus is the same everywhere. Look, this is not just some cultural thing. No. This is a spiritual family that belongs to our great God. And I want to tell you, the longer I know Jesus as my Savior, the more meaningful the church of God has become to me. Now, this is an interesting thing because in His parting message to them, He looks back with gratitude. How many of you think we ought to look back on the last 25 years and thank God for faithful people in this church? And we do, and we praise God for His goodness to this church. Then He looks ahead. He looks ahead in faith. See, there's uncertainty ahead. Paul said, I don't know what's waiting for me. I hear there's persecution waiting for me, but he didn't know the details of the future. Can I tell you, I'm no prophet. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what next year will bring. I have no idea what our governments will do. Only Jesus knows what our governments will do. I have no idea what world affairs will do or what world economies will do. But I'll tell you what I know. I know that God is still God and God is always on the throne. Amen. And as surely as I can look back with gratitude, I can look ahead in faith. But this is what I want to bring you to today. This message is not about the past. Can't change that. And it is not about the future. You're not there yet. This message is about the present. Do you understand that our God is not a past tense God or a future tense God? He's a present tense God. In fact, do you remember when Moses asked Him, he said, now, Lord, you're going to have to tell me your name. Pharaoh's going to want to know who sent me. And God said, just tell him I am. Look, I got to say I am and put something after it. God can just say I am and put a period after it. He's a self-existent, self-sufficient, eternal God. I am that I am. And I love this. Listen to it. I am. Not I was. Not I will be. No, our God is a present tense God. The same God that was at work 25 years ago when this church came into existence. The same God that will still be God when the earth burns up and we all go to be with Jesus for eternity is God at this present hour. And I want to tell you that God wants to work in His church right now. In fact, there's a little phrase that I never noticed until this week. You know how many times I've read Acts chapter 20? It's an amazing book, the Bible, because you can read it over and over and over. It's not new, but it's always fresh. Here's the phrase. Would you mark it? Verse 22, would you read the first two words with me, church? What's the first two words of verse 22? Ready? And now. Okay, mark that. Come down to verse 25. What's the first two words of verse 25? And now. Verse 32, what's the first two words? And now. How many of you think there's a pattern here? Excuse me for talking about grammar in church, but and is a conjunction. It's a connector. It continues. Watch this. And now is a reminder. You ready for this? That the story of the church of God is a story that started when Jesus died on that cross, but it does not end until we all gather at the throne. We are a part of the continuing story of what God is doing through His church in this world. Amen. and now. May I give you three simple things that ought to be true of us now? They're all found right in the passage. Beginning in verse 22 down to verse number 24, I would say to you, and now we need to determine that we're going to finish well. That's what Paul says to them. He says, I don't know the future for you or for me. But, verse 24, he said, I want to finish well. Notice this. He's not detoured. He says, none of these things move me. I'm not going to be blown off course. He's not distracted. Neither count I my life dear to myself. I'm not going to get stuck on this world and my life and my convenience and my comfort and my prosperity and my good job and my salary and benefits. I'm not going to get stuck on that. There's more to life than that. And he's not dismayed. Look at it. So that I might finish my course. I love this. With joy. Isn't that wonderful? Look here. You don't have to be miserable to be a follower of Jesus. In fact, I would submit to you that the happiest people on planet Earth are people who know Christ and have Christ as their personal Savior with joy. And he's not diminished because he said, I want to finish the ministry that I've received of the Lord Jesus. In other words, don't just start well. Don't just stay well for a while. No, determine by the grace of God and for the glory of God that you're going to finish your course well. Can I tell you, only one person can determine that, and that's you. This pastor, he can preach the truth to you. He can teach the Bible to you, but he can't decide for you. You got to decide for you. It's a personal thing. There are probably some people listening to me right now. You haven't even started your course yet. You say, well, I'm 25 years old, or I'm 35 years old. I'm not talking about age. No, no. I'm talking about your spiritual race. There's probably somebody listening to me right now, and you've never personally repented of your sin and put your faith in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And I want to tell you that real life doesn't begin until you come to know Christ as your Savior. That's why it's called a birth. It's a new beginning. You ever think you'd like to start over? Be honest. How many of you have ever looked back at life and thought, my goodness, I wish I had a do-over? Anybody with me on that? Anybody ever made a dumb decision you wish and regret and think, I wish I could change that? How many of you are with me on that? Now, may I just say, welcome to the club, all right? Can I tell you, you can't have a new start? You can have a new beginning with God, but the only way to have a new start, are you listening, is you got to have a new heart. Amen. And only Jesus can give you that. Now, some of you need to start your course today. Some of you need to find the joy of knowing Jesus today. Some of you need to say, Lord, I don't want to just sit in a church building. I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to just be connected to a group of people. I want to be connected to the God of the Bible. I hate to tell you this. Sitting in this room will not make you a child of God. No, it will not. Watch. If I stand in a garage, does that make me a car? Yes or no? No. You know why? Because it doesn't change my nature. I'm not a car. And if you sit in a church building, that doesn't make you a Christian. No, you must come into a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you today, if you'll come to Jesus, he'll come to you. And then, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to say, Dear Lord, I don't want to just say I'm a Christian. I want to live the Christian life. And I don't want to just serve you for a season. I want to be faithful to God and across the finish line and see Jesus face to face. Look here, someday that faith is going to become sight. Wouldn't it be a grand thing to finish your life having been faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ who's been faithful to you? And now, determined to finish well personally. There's a second one. Verse 25, he says again, and now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. How could he say that? You know what he's saying? You ever hear the expression, he's got blood on his hands? Remember Pilate? Remember Pilate who sentenced Jesus to death and he's over here washing his hands? He said, I'm free from the blood of this man. He really wasn't. You know what it means to have blood on your hands? It means that you're guilty for their death. You know what Paul is saying here? He's saying, look, you may not have received the gospel, but I've given it to you. And I can say your blood is not going to be on my hands because I've given you the truth. Oh, I love this thought. Would you write down a second thing? You want the church of God to move forward, number one, and now determine you'll finish well personally, number two, and now minister to others fervently. It's not just about us. Do you know sometimes churches get selfish? And don't look at me shocked. It's our church. Oh, we got a great group of people. And we got a lot going on. We're doing really well. Be careful. Watch this. The church of God doesn't pull everything in. It turns everything inside out. You know why that is? Because God did not establish the church just so we could belong. He established the church so that we could be used to get His gospel to others who need Christ. Amen. You know why God's blessing your church? One of the great reasons? Because you're not self-centered. You're out passing out invitations. You're talking to people about Christ. You're sending missionaries. You're trying to support people getting the gospel out. You're praying for souls. You're ministering to people. Dear ones, keep that heart. That's the heart of Jesus. It's a heart for others. And I love this. It's a heart for sinners. Look at it in verse number 26. But when you come to verse 27 and 28, it's a heart for the saints. In fact, you might want to mark in your Bible in verse 26, all men, and in verse 28, all the flock. Do you see that? All men need Jesus. Let's get the gospel to them. And then all the flock, that's God's children. Let's minister to one another. One of the things I love about your church is the love of God is here. We are living in a hateful world right now. Harsh, hard. And by the way, before you get too aggravated at people being mean, can I tell you why people are mean? They're mean because sin has hardened them. Only one thing melts that: the love of Jesus. You know what I enjoyed last night? Watching you all love on each other. You know what I watched this morning? People coming in the building, showing the love of God to one another. You visitors know what I'm talking about. Look, there's places I show up and it's cold. Nobody speaks. Nobody's interested. Nobody cares. Not so here. You know why? Because in the church of God, they're not just about having a service two or three times a week or the pastor giving his sermon. No. No, they're ministering each other. Thank God for shepherds. Amen to that. We love all the sheep. We need one another. We need the Lord. We're watching for the wolves. We're looking for the enemies. We're making sure that God's people are cared for. Hey, that's what a church is all about. And I tell you, I sure am glad to be a part of the church of God. Amen. Let's determine we're going to finish well personally. Let's determine we're going to minister to others fervently. There's a third one. Look at verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Would you write it down? And now we determine to finish well personally, and now we minister to others fervently, and now we live in the Word constantly. You understand this is Paul's last sermon to them? I love this thought. But it was not the end of God's Word to them. I only get to preach to you today. This is the Lord's day. I get to be with you. And if God allows me, I get to preach to you again tonight. Jesus could come before tonight. How many of you know it would be a real celebration Sunday if Jesus came today? By the way, if Jesus comes this afternoon, we'll be meeting in a different location tonight, all right? A much better location. Can you imagine what it'll be like to meet around the throne of God someday? Man, it's amazing. But there'll come a day that you hear a preacher's last sermon. Watch this. Men don't last, but God's truth does. Even people come and go. Pastor, in 25 years, you've had a lot of people come and go through this church. Some of them are in heaven, aren't they? We watch some of them that are different parts of the world today. They're not here. They can't be here. But watch this. You know what remains? The church of God. You know why? Because the God of the church remains. And you know how we know Him? Through the Word of God. Would you write down number three? And now, we must live in the Word constantly. By the way, Paul did that. Would you jump down to verse 35? He said, I want you to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Paul's living on the Word. He wants the people to live on the Word. Can I tell you how to keep this church strong? Can I tell you how to have a strong life? Look up here just a minute. Build your life on the Bible. Amen. In a world that's constantly shifting, changing, moving, it's crazy the world we're living in. Look here. This never changes. It's a sure foundation. It's an anchor for the soul. It is the eternal, forever settled word of the living God. Build your life on the unchanging truth of the Bible. In fact, would you look back at verse 32 just a minute? It's the word of His grace. I love that thought. We'll come back to the grace of God tonight. But notice the three things it does. Number one, it builds you up. Sin diminishes you. Tears it down. You know what God's Word does? Build you up. You spend time in the Bible every day, you know what it'll do? You'll get stronger in your faith. You'll know more about God. You'll come nearer to being the man or woman that God created you to become. It will build you up. God's way, look here, the devil's way is down, God's way is always up. That's not all. Look at verse 32 again. It'll not only build you up, it'll enrich you. You see it? It gives you an inheritance. My grandfather died, and he was 57. He died before I was born, and I never met him. He was a preacher. When he died in the hospital, they called my father and said, come get your daddy's things. And he went to the hospital, and he picked up a few things that my grandfather had on his person when he died, and he found his little wallet. It was an old-fashioned wallet. He opened up one side where the cash went, and there were no bills there. And on the other side, there was a little zippered compartment for change. And he opened it, and there were three pennies. The dad started investigating and found out that my grandfather had given his whole life to the gospel. When he died, that was all he owned. Total amount of money. He had to his name when he died. It was three pennies. My dad said to his siblings, we're not going to argue over the inheritance. I'm keeping all of it. And he did. He kept all three pennies. He taped it in a family Bible. I looked at it the other day. And he wrote under those three pennies in that family Bible the words of Jesus, man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Somebody's going to say, oh, he only left behind three pennies. Oh, no. No, that's the money he left. He left behind a rich heritage of faith in God. I was preaching in a church not long ago, and a man came up to me and said, your grandfather started this church. And he said, did you know him? And I said, no, sir. I said, did you know him? He said, son, he led me to Jesus. And he said, he baptized me. And he said, as a matter of fact, he said, you know those words you preachers say when you baptize? I said, yes. He said, he must have been practicing because he held me under a long time that day when he baptized me. When I think of my grandfather, I don't care about any amount of money. Who cares about the money? That's not what's going to matter when you meet God in eternity. Look, there are spiritual riches. You want to find out how rich you are? Add up everything money cannot buy you and death cannot take away from you. That's how rich you are. The true riches are spiritual riches. And look here. Here's the diamond mine. You want a diamond mine? Here's the gold mine. Climb in the mine of God's Word, the unsearchable riches of His wisdom, and you will find that God enriches your life with a joy that money cannot buy and circumstances cannot take away. Live in the Word of God. Look, I'm glad you hear Bible messages when you come to this church, but if the only Bible you get is sitting in this room, you're never going to be what God wants you to be. Live in the Word of God and let the Word of God live in you. And there's a third one. Look at verse 32. The Word of God will not only build you up and enrich you, I love this, it'll sanctify you. Don't get scared. Somebody said, that sounds spooky. No, it just means to cleanse you, make you clean. Set you apart. make you to become what God wants you to become. His ongoing purifying work in our life. I love this. That starts the moment you come to know Jesus as your Savior. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. But God's work in your life doesn't stop there. It just starts there. Then the water of the Word of God begins to cleanse your mind and your conscience. Your thoughts and desires. Your whole life changes. Can I just tell you, only God can do that for you. My grandpa used to say, if you find a perfect church, don't go there, you'll mess it up. He was right about that. Can I tell you, there is no perfect church. This is a wonderful church, but it is a church filled with imperfect people. Would you look around just a minute? I give you permission. Look around. I want you to see the people. See all those people? Look to your left, your right. Look who's behind you. Look in front of you. It's all right. Look at them. See all those people? Nice people. Aren't those nice people? Now look back up here. Do you know what you've been looking at? You've been looking at a bunch of sinners. That's what you've been looking at. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Somebody said, that's not very nice. Do you understand for the last few minutes you've been listening to one too? We're all sinners. We all need the grace of God. And the only reason we're part of the church of God is because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. You don't earn your way into this church. You don't buy your way into this church. I got a good laugh last night out of that testimony about how much it costs to join and become a member of the church. I'm going to tell you, it cost Jesus his own blood, and Jesus paid it all to him I owe. The debt has been paid. The way has been made. You can be a part of the family of God and the church of the living God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love how the message ended. You know what they did? They heard from God. They prayed. He commends them to God. Would you look at verse number 36? And when he had thus spoken, this is so beautiful. He kneeled down and prayed with them all. Would you lift your head and look at me and hear me with your heart just a minute? You do understand that if somebody speaks to you, the right thing to do is speak back. How many of you think that's kind? How many of you think it's rude if somebody speaks to you and you don't speak back? Do you understand that God speaks to us through His Word? These people have heard from God. You know what we've heard from this morning? Not me. Lord, help us. If all you've heard is my voice, you missed it. No, you've heard the Word of God, God speaking to us. You know the right thing for us to do? Speak back to Him. You know how we do that? In prayer. And in a moment, I'm going to ask every person in this room, are you listening? Every person in the room to join me in one of two prayers. One of two. The first is a prayer for some who need to get in the race, who need to join the family. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray a very simple prayer that you can make your own from your heart, right where you sit, and repent and believe on the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I'm not asking you to put your name on this church roll. I hope you will, but that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to become a part of the greatest family in the world, which is the family of God. I don't know anything about your biological family, and maybe your upbringing wasn't good, and maybe your earthly father was absentee or abusive, but I'm going to tell you, the Heavenly Father is a wonderful Father, and His family is the greatest family in the world. And He sent His only begotten Son to die in your place and rise from the dead so that you could have a place and a part forever in the family of God. The second prayer is for those of us who've already done that. And you know that you belong to Christ and He belongs to you. I'm going to ask you today if you'll recommit yourself to being a true follower of the Lord Jesus and the kind of church member that others would look at you and say, whatever those people have, I want that. I don't know. I don't know about that group that claims to be the Lord's church, but if that's really what that is, I want that because I see Christ in them. With that in mind, I'd like you to bow your head and close your eyes with me all around the room. Would you please? The church of God. The church of God. Are you a part of the Church of God?